Basically, there are certain things you do in Christ that God will never forget. God loves his people, and don't be fooled by what you hear and what you see. You are a believer. God loves his church. Yeah? God loves his church. God, you can't take the same brush and swipe all the churches. It's not. You can do what you want to do. Yeah. God loves his church, and God loves sinners. Right? So it's not. It's why we are yet sinners. God died. Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for us. So he came and he died. So if you were the only. So don't be fooled by that. So you must have a heart for what God has a heart for. Amen. That's why you must be driven by soul winning. You must be driven by outreach. If you are not driven by, nothing expedites your answers from God than what I just shared with you. Your heart for the gospel, your heart for soul winning, your heart for the things of God. Nothing. Most people want to ignore all that and they want to pray and fast, do 40 days fast. It doesn't work. God doesn't work like that. God does not work like that. So read the scriptures. God does not work like that. All right? So today, very quickly, I want to teach you what I have titled, Developing a Spiritual Mentality. Praise the Lord. Developing what? A spiritual mentality. You have to develop a spiritual mentality. I want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. This is Apostle Peter talking here. In fact, he actually wrote this book towards the end of his life. And he was advising, he was talking to the church. You know? So in other words, in a way, it was more like a farewell kind of speech. It was one of those things that he thought about, reflecting on the church. You know, what will his last memoirs be? You know, that's the background to 2 Peter. So he left it and he says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And so it says, on top of everything, on top of your faith, you must add these things to your faith. Amen? In other words, if you don't add these things to your faith, your faith may not produce the 100%, the 100-fold that it ought to produce. And so if you are not, you know, I love our faith because it's a faith that requires self-examination. You know, the Bible says, examine yourself and to see if you are still in the way or in the faith. So self-examination as a Christian is very important. Self-examination. Apostle is saying here, for this very reason, make every effort. Make, in other words, it will not come to you naturally. Are there believers in the house tonight? It will not come to you naturally. You make the effort. Everything about our lifestyle as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, is about making the effort. Make the effort. Try. Try. Put your mind to it. Engage yourself. Be determined. Don't say, I can't help myself. Don't say that. Put in the effort. Don't say, I couldn't do it. He said, no. No. Are you listening? Make the effort. Make the effort. So for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. I know you have faith. He said, but add something to your faith. Don't just receive their faith and just sit there and say, well, you know, what will be, and I believe I'm a disciple. I say, no, don't do that. He said, you add some things to your faith, goodness. And to goodness, add knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness. Holiness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. It's interesting. In other words, if you don't have any of these things, they can affect the way your faith turns out. Are you listening? I don't know about you. I want results for my faith. I want results. I want results. I hear me say it all the time. I am motivated by outcome. I am not motivated by telling stories. Amen? Did you get there or did you not get there? There's nothing like when I was coming and somebody, no. Did somebody get there? He said, oh, well, pastor, nobody on earth got there. Okay, fine enough. That's okay. There was nobody to imitate. But when people are getting there and it's your turn and then you are not showing up. So why are you not there? And then, no. So he said, be motivated. Don't be satisfied with a lukewarm Christian life. And so he's giving us some guidelines of the things that we must add to our faith, the faith we receive in salvation. If not, your faith will just be as it is, your altar faith. The one that you, I'm born again, that's it. Nothing. There's no works. There's no shine. There's no worship. There's no testimony. Are you listening? So he said, to make these things come to pass, I said, you need to add to them. I said, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that's why I said there's no maturity. Amen? In increasing measure, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will, in other words, the measure you had last year should not be the measure you have this year. Many of us, the same way we were last year, our Christian life, the way it was last year, is the same way it is this year. The same way we struggled with last year, we struggle with them this year. It's not a sign of development. It's not. Why? Because why must you grow and develop? Because people are getting born again every day, getting serious every day, and we need you to look after them. Who will look after them? Who will encourage them? Who will set the right example for them? So we grow and take care of the body. The body grows and take care of the community. The community grows and takes care of the nation. The nation grows and takes care of the world. That's how the gospel spreads. So your spiritual development and it's very, very important. It is not optional. And so you must grow and you must add to your faith. You must grow. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So the measure of 2014 must be different from the measure of 2015. And the measure of 2015 must be different from the measure of 2016. Amen. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective. It's not the devil that is responsible for your ineffectiveness and your lack of productivity. It's the qualities that you don't have. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, underline that in your Bible if you have one, right? They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your... So, what is the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Knowing what to do. And I'll talk about that later. At any point in time, knowing what to do. At any point in time, knowing what to do. That is your knowledge of Christ. It keeps you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of what? So, knowledge of Christ, there's a dimension of productivity and effectiveness that sound knowledge of Christ brings to you. But when these qualities are missing, you cannot be effective. In other words, now, do you know how terrible ineffectiveness in the knowledge of Christ is? When things happen to you, the way you respond, right? The way you respond, react, handle things, is like you just got saved. It's like you just got saved. You understand? The way you handle issues, the way you talk, the way you handle issues, the way you handle challenges, the way you handle everything, is like you just got saved. But meanwhile, you've been in the gospel and in faith for God knows how many years. Praise the Lord. So there's nothing as terrible as ineffectiveness, right, and lack of productivity in the knowledge of God. And you will not be effective unless you add those seven things or eight things to your faith. It says, and you make all effort to add them to it, because they are not gifted. They are not gifted. Amen? He says, so you add knowledge and then goodness. Goodness is not gifted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we read on? And he says, but if anyone does not have them, he says, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Be eager. Be determined. Because it's serious business. It's serious business. Amen. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, I will always remind you of these things. So, I will always remind you. Like I'm reminding you now. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth, you now have. So, I know you have. See, I'm talking to a Friday service. I know you know these things. But I need to constantly remind you. So that you, in turn, will go and remind others. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. It's interesting. He actually knew when he was going to die. These guys were not joking, you know. I love the early apostles. There was nothing guesswork. They have pushed themselves. You know what? They have eagerly. They run their Christian faith with, I don't know, they with tenacity. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Can you imagine? It's like a legacy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to give you 3 points that will make you remember these things. All right? You have to remember these things. You have to remember them. Number one, just in case I don't have time to. Number one, you have to remember what you know. We have to remember what we know. He says something. He says, make every effort to add to your faith. Make every effort to add. So, salvation faith is not enough. You make every effort to add other things to it, right? So, you have to remember. We have to make every effort to remember what we know. Number two, you have to do what you can do, right? And number three, we have to appreciate what we have. And I will talk about them. Remember what we know, do what we can, appreciate what we have. 3 principles that will give you a spiritual mindset. Right? Let's look at the first one. Remember what you know. And look at verse 12. I can't read it. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. So you have to remember what you know. Remember what you know. And he says here, he desires to put us in remembrance. So you have to remember what you already know. Now, many of us have been saved for years. There are certain things that you have to remember them. You must go down memory lane and remember them. Praise the Lord. Remember your encounter. If we are not careful, it is very easy to forget what we know. Very easy. Sometimes we forget. You know, they did a poll not too long ago, and they asked people, what kind of things do they forget? 83% say they forget names. How many of you forget names here? Uh-huh. How many of you forget names, right? And you look at somebody and say, Oh, your name is just here. Your name is... Where I come from, that is what they say. They say, this face. Your name. The name is here. It's here. The name is just... At the tip of my tongue, they forget it. 83% say they forget names. 60 say they forget they forget where something is. 60% say they forget where something is. How many of you forget where something is? Plenty. Uh-huh. You see? 57 say they forget telephone numbers. How many forget telephone numbers? All of us, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Half of them say they forget words. I mean, forget words. Today, when my wife and I were having a conversation in the kitchen, she said, I need to tell you something. Yeah. She said, there's this guy from UCL. And then something happened. And then we came back. She said, well, was I trying to tell you something? I looked at her. I said, no. She said, but we're having a conversation before. I said, yes. She said, what was I saying? I said, I don't know, you were the one trying to say it. I was looking at her. So I went to say, I'll continue what I was doing, praying for service. He said, I've forgotten. I was telling you something very interesting. I said, it's so interesting that you forgot. So many people forget what was said or what is being said. 42% said they forget faces. How many of you forget faces? How do you forget somebody's face? That's terrible. I don't forget people's faces. So. You forget face? Eh? Hey, yeah? How many of you forget faces? Hi. That's horrible. That's so horrible. How do you forget someone's face? If I've not seen you for years, the features will still be there. Plus or minus 5-10 years. This person. I can also remember people's I can remember last names, I can remember people's faces. And the reason I do association. So if you tell me that if someone tells my name is Ayo, right? I have a database of people in my mind. If you tell me your name is Ayo, right, I will always link you to this man. Yeah. If I see you 25 years time, I will think about him, then I will tell you what your name is. Wicked man, I'm telling you. My mind. I'm telling you. But I'm equally very slow to learn. I don't learn very fast. Terrible. I don't learn very fast. I learn slowly. You know, if I'm learning, you don't want to teach me. I'm sure all my leaders are tired of me now, because when they are teaching me something, they will say it 20 times, and I'll come back and ask the same thing. But thank God for respect, they can't do anything. My God! These guys, it's God that put them around me. I'm telling you, these people. Lane doesn't go in. But if I catch it, you who taught me will forget. Me, I will never forget. I don't forget like that. But to get it in, oh, my guy. I feel sorry for people who teach me and who advise me. Because the advice is going through here, it goes out the other day. And I come and say, hey, so what did you say about that thing? Say, what thing? That's why I like this man. Everything, he always remember things. He writes down. I can't remember. He said we launched a program many years ago. And I said, which program? He said, I launched. I said, me. He said, yes. He said, we invited that minister. Me? He said, yes. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, this man came, that man came. I have no recollection whatsoever. Not even the day. Terrible. But we forget. Yeah? We also forget when we have problems, we forget God. We forget that we are God's children. We fail to remember his promises to us. Because we forget. You must remember these things. You must remember what you know. You have to. You can't afford to forget. Many of us have forgotten that God loves us. Many of us still think that we are strangers in the kingdom. We forget. So you know, to develop a spiritual mindset, there are certain things you must never forget. Many of us, we don't remember. We don't remember the awesome power of God. We don't remember. You must remember the things what you know. So we try and solve problems with worldly wisdom. Because we don't remember the nature, the power of our God. Many of us, we don't remember his testimonies. We don't remember his testimonies. In times of crisis, we don't remember that somebody once gave a testimony about how God came through for them. We don't remember. We don't. Help me tell your neighbor, you must remember. You must remember. You cannot be spiritually minded or develop a spiritual mentality if you don't remember these things. Are you listening? David said, he said in Psalm 20, he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, which also means people relying on their own resources. He said, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember. This is trust in the name of God. So one translation says, but we will remember the name. We will remember. In times of crisis, many of us can't remember. We can't. In troubled time, we don't remember God. And we don't remember what we know. And we don't remember what we have learned of God. We don't remember. Can't remember. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second thing that we don't remember our experiences of God. We don't remember. We can forget. If you're not careful, you will forget your experience of God. You can forget your experience of God. You can't forget these things, and you can't afford to forget these things and have a spiritual mentality. You can't. Many of us have experiences. At least one experience that you have, we have experience of a new birth in Christ. Many of us can't remember that experience. We can't remember that we are born again and spirit-filled. We can't remember. Can't remember. Developing a spiritual mentality, you got to remember, my friend. You can't afford. So you, there are certain things you must remember, and you must remember certain things you must remember, and you must remember what you know. So, and you must remember what you know. You must remember your own experience. Come on, you walk down the aisle, not marriage now. You walk down the not altar. Walk towards in front of the altar. Give your life to Christ. All that butterfly in your spirit and everything that you experienced while growing as a young Christian, you forget that. How do you forget your experience? Many of us, we forget our experience. Throughout the grind of our daily living, we forget what we know of God. We forget our experience. We can't remember. We have experienced a new birth in Christ. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Oh, this Bible. Small print. It says, through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Yeah? It says, King James says, we are partaker. I like that word. It says, we are partaker, co-participants in his divine nature. That is your salvation. We forget the experience. Look at verse 9. Let's go at verse 9. Verse 9 says, verse 9. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted. And blind. But I got them. But I've got them. I have forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Experience. Amen. That's an experience. So many of us have forgotten the joy of your salvation. David says, he says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know that you are born again. You wake up in the morning, you feel, you know that you are saved. The joy. How many of you feel the joy of salvation? You know, you just wake up, you're just excited, and there's something to be excited about. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit. It's joy of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Joy of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So we forget that. We forget the experience. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And so God has delivered us from all these things. God has saved us, saved you. You are not a regular guy. You are not a regular girl. Your family is not a regular family. Come on. I don't know. That's what's going on in my brain. This anything I'm involved in is not regular. This is not a regular church. What's regular about this? That's your experience. So you must remember. Yeah? Have to remember. We forget our experiences. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 4:4. Remember when you got born again? And it says this recently, just yesterday. There's this guy that when I was in uni, we were very close. He used to teach me I used to be very playful, you know. My daughter is now, my son is not here. Oh man, to read was difficult. I was always playing. And then towards the exam, I would run and meet my friend Henry. As I say, oh Henry, come and teach me. Oh Henry. Henry was a mature student. You know, he already was a bank manager. Then he took him, what do you call that thing? Study leave to come and do accounting. And I said, Henry, please help me. Oh my. He said, what did you do? What did you do with yourself and with your time? And I said, I was playing. Henry, please help me, you know. And then my first 2 years, and I went and I got born again, came back. You know, this time I was a changed man, but he didn't know. So for a long time, I thought he died. I heard him that he was crazy one time. I panicked, you know, and we were looking for him for years. And thank God for Facebook. He just showed up and sent me a friend request yesterday. Oh, I was running around the office. I was saying, wow, Henry, where have you been? I was saying, he's doing very well. He said, actually named one of my children after you. That's so cool. That's so cool. All right, what was I saying? I've forgotten. Guys, remember what I was, what did I say? Eh? What? Yeah. First, 4:4. They were surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness. They are in their recklessness. That's a strong scripture here. While living, and they heap abuse on you. How many of you experience that? You know, you get born again, and then you're not quite the same again, isn't it? You're not quite the same again. I remember then my friend would sit down and then. Oh, we had something to say about any passing lady, you know, and I used to participate in that. But when I came back from my fourth year, I was born again now, and I would hang out with Henry, and at this time, I don't say anything anymore. You know, I just keep quiet, you know. And he would look and say, oh, are you all right? And I say, yeah, I'm okay. And then one day, Bola walked past, you know, and he had so many things to say about Bola, but I kept quiet. So I said, Henry, I said, she's my friend. Stop talking like that. So he said, what kind of friend are you? What's wrong with you? I said, don't talk about her like that. This is my friend. So kept quiet. And then, so when I told him that, I said, remember that girl you were muffling about the other day? I said, man, married her. Born two children. And then he said, I knew it. I knew she would change you, you boy. But he didn't realize that I was already saved and I just couldn't participate in those guys, all that talk. How would you forget that kind of experience? You know, you get born again and you just, you know, you're not sure about this thing, but let me just keep myself to myself now. Or you get born again and you don't want to be contaminated. You don't want to tell your friends what is going on because you're not sure. You can't explain it. And then, so you just tag along, you know. Are you coming out tonight? No, not really. What do you want to do? I just want to sit back, you know, sit back. I'm not feeling this Friday night at all. Oh, yeah. Can't just say, my friend, boss, I'm born again. No, you can't say that's too much. You know, sir. Sit down. You know, look at all that experience. Amen. And many of us cannot come out to tell people we are born again. That's okay. But as you grow in faith, how do you forget that experience? The experience of hide and seek. Man, I was in a confraternity when I was in school, right? How do I tell them I'm born again? I will cut my head off. So always playing hide and seek. When the boys are coming this way, I go this way. When the boys are coming this way, I go this way. For 2 years. Oh, how can I forget that experience? So there are certain things you must remember. You just don't be an ostrich Christian or ostrich disciple. Put your head in the sand. No! These are memories. The day the devil come at you, you sit back and you just go down memory lane. God will honor your experience. He will honor what you remember of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number two, you must do what you can. Yeah? We're talking about developing a spiritual mentality. You must do what you can do. Don't just say, I tried this. No. The Bible talks about Jesus. The Bible says that he went and he prayed and then he interceded. And then the Bible says blood was dropping from his face. And you say, you do, and you, in your own experience, well, I tried. What is I tried? You must do something. Praise the Lord. You must do something. Amen. He said we must add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love. We don't have time to go through all these ones. But you go and study each of these things because you must be eager to add these things to your faith. You must add them. It's a conscious hunger, conscious decision. You must ask yourself what each of these things mean to you. You must apply yourself to them. Why? Because that is what believers do. That's what believers do. Amen. And then you do that, and then you teach your children to do the same thing. And then you raise them as they grow up, and you teach them the same values. Praise God. That's why you and I belong to the same family, because we all have the same value system. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My daughter is going to be 18. So next year I'm going to write a book on how to raise teenagers, but not yet. I have one more year to go. You don't write that kind of book when they are teenagers. Amen. It's values. Values. Praise God. So you must add, let me talk about knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. It's from the Greek word, it says gnosis, knowledge of God, knowledge. It talks about, it means practical intelligence and practical insight. So add to your faith practical spiritual intelligence, practical spiritual insight. It means knowing what to do in every situation of life. Jesus was never confused once. No. No. Jesus was never confused once. No. It is knowledge. It is practical day-to-day knowledge that sees situations of life and knows how to handle it. That says, it says, add to your faith knowledge. Practical. Add. It is seeing the trials and temptations of life and knowing exactly what to do. It says, add to your faith, add this kind of knowledge, the practical knowledge. Don't just say, I don't know what to do. No, no, no. You get that knowledge. Get that knowledge. That's why we say you get it by reading the word of God and applying yourself in the Holy Ghost and be a God chaser. All disciples are God chasers. Praise the Lord. Why? So that the day of trial, the day of temptation, we know what to do. We know what to do. We know what to do. Amen. So this kind of knowledge comes through experience and it comes through the word of God. And talking about experience, there's nothing I love more than borrowed experience. Oh, I love. I don't like having my own experiences. It's horrible. That's why I like asking people questions. I'm a student for life. I can learn from a child. I'm telling you, if that kid has that knowledge, I'm going to sit down. If he can't write, I will ask him to draw it for me. Amen? That kind of knowledge. So the knowledge comes from the word of God and it comes from experience of life. Experience of life. You see, that's the reason why we also do testimony Sundays. So you can hear other people's experiences of God and then you leverage that experience for the development of your spiritual life. It will help you develop a spiritual mentality, which is the vehicle upon which your faith rides on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's so much fun in Jesus. It doesn't mean that life is not tough. Life is tough for everybody. It doesn't mean that life is not hard. Life can be hard for everybody. Praise the Lord. There are challenges everywhere. As a couple, we have been through our own fair share of personal challenges with life. Because things happen. Things happen. My pastor used to tell me that, listen, he says, it is when we squeeze you that we know what is inside you. And life will squeeze you. So when life squeezes you, what comes out of you? That is where we determine whether there's Christianity in it or not. Who doesn't love Jesus when everything is going good? Everybody can love Jesus on a nice summer day. Oh, yeah. Everyone loves Jesus on a nice summer day. The wind is blowing, the birds are singing, you got money to spend, or you have a credit card in your wallet. Yeah. Life is good. That's not the true test. But when life squeezes you and put pressure on you, man, what kind of a song are you going to be singing if you are still singing? That is where we lay down. That is where we separate the chaff from the wheat. We separate the boys from the men, the girls from the women. That was separate. You can't take a beating and keep on ticking. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of knowledge he's talking about. Experience and the world. Experience and the world. Experience. Paul said in Philippians 4, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, to be content. I have learned I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. But you know, Christians will only take on that bit and apply it to job seeking, prosperity seeking. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you know what he was talking? He said he was hungry. He said, I have learned. I back up. This is our favorite one. I can do everything through Him, through Christ. You know, it's like an incantation. I can do all things through Christ. Who's are you taking out of context? Let's back up a few scriptures. Back up 12. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have experienced both sides of the spectrum. Right? And I have learned the secret of being content in plenty or in lack. I am immovable. I am not moved whether I have, or I'm not moved whether I don't have. It doesn't make any difference to me. I have learned the secret of staying content and not be swayed by the happiness around me, whether I am in plenty or I'm in need. But some people, they sing when they are in plenty. Their amen is loud when they are in plenty. When they are in need, they don't have a voice. Then he said, I am able to maintain that status because I know I have this knowledge that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's the context. But we take it and apply it to only money. It's only money. Money, 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 money. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, 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 me. Now, hey, look at the early Christians. You see, one funny thing? The early Christians, if we pull our lifestyle and their lifestyle and we look at them, they will cover their face in shame. So, oh, God, is this what it is down to? This? You and your belly? My goodness, I was quartered. I was hung upside down. I was dropped in boiling water. And you lose your song because you don't have a job. Nobody has faith in shame. You lose your song because this happened to you on earth. You were not fried, boiled, or flogged. Or shot. So in Acts, Paul said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Only the word can do that. Build you up. Build you up. Praise the Lord. I want to be a church with built up Christians. Rugged machines. Hallelujah. Bless you, man. Rugged machines. He said, this happened to me, but Jesus is Lord. I'm going through and I'm coming out the other side with my testimony. Bring it on. What are we talking about? We're talking about our faith is not a goody-goody faith. Goody-goody. When I was young, there used to be this candy called goody-goody. I remember goody-goody. Hey, yeah, where? Hey, goody-goody. If you have goody-goody, stick it up. Today, my mommy was warning me. I didn't know what she meant. Now, my dentist reminds me of what she meant now. Amen? So, what do I say? Do what you can. And it says, add to your faith. So do what you can. Seek the knowledge, experiential, and the word. Please, read your Bible and live your Bible. Read your Bible and live your Bible. And it's also somebody talking. It says, add to your faith patience. 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 Amen. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You do them. Have patience. We can develop a spiritual mentality. Be patient and walk that thing. Walk the word, walk the experience, walk the word, walk the experience. Every day ask yourself, what have I learned of and from the Lord today? Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. What have I learned today? 24 hours, you went to work today. You went to serve one man's work, made profit for him. Get back home, sit down, ask yourself, what have I learned today? What is the state of my spirit today? Ask yourself and examine yourself. What is the state of your spirit today? Are you high? Are you on top? Have you got a vibrant spirit? Is your spirit growing? Is your spirit healthy? Assess it. Praise God. Do what you can. Knowledge, patience, and brotherly kindness. We've talked more about this. Let me move to the last one. All right? You must appreciate what we have. So number one, you must remember the things you know. Number two, what? Do what you can. Do what you can. Do what you can. Can what you do and sit on the can. All right? So, number three, appreciate what we have. Why? We have, what do we have? We have two main things. The first one, the Bible says that we have obtained like a precious faith. You know, but that in verse 1. It says, to those who through the righteousness of God and the Savior of Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. That's what you have. You and I have received a faith. Your salvation is precious. Come on. Do you know the average Christian does not believe that hell exists? The average Christian do not believe, they don't think that there's hell. And many of us find it difficult to understand that somebody who is not born again, though he's very nice and he's a friend, when the person dies, he's going to hell. Many of us say, there's hell. I don't want to find out where it is. But I believe in Jesus. And God has given you this faith. Your faith and your salvation is precious. Let's even talk about location. You being in England is precious. There are Christians in China. You grab your Bible, go wave your Bible around the streets in China. And let's see what will happen to you the next morning. But you are here. Awesome privilege. You remember, you know? When we were in Cyprus, we used to work with a missionary some missionaries in Cairo. And in Cairo, we had the Church of the Underground. It was a dump. It's a dump. There was this dump in Cairo. I mean, garbage dump, right? There was a church. The Christians built a church underneath that dump. That's where they meet to worship. And we used to send things to them. We used to use our covert operation, using a marketplace cover-up as missionaries. So we go into a community, still like Cyprus, right? You establish a business, and that business forms the front for soul winning. That's another level. But, you know, your faith is precious. In fact, it's so precious, it's so common, and so free that there's no price tag on it. Many of us don't put a price tag on it. There's no price tag. We take it for granted. Your salvation is a privilege that you are born again and spirit-filled. And that's why try to follow the news of fellow brothers and sisters of faith in other nations that are not Christian, that are not Christian-oriented. Try and subscribe to a magazine, a Christian magazine, that talks about Christians in China, in Asia, right? And try and follow them and see. Try and subscribe. Sold your time for Channel 4 News and read some things. If you read some things, you won't sleep. You grab your Bible and say, I love you, man. I love you, Jesus. You'll be weeping. I'm telling you. So no Christian can develop spiritual mentality without appreciating their salvation. And how do you say, but Pastor, I love Jesus. No. Somebody was sharing with me last week that there's about this joke or riddle about the ham and the egg, the ham and the chicken, right? I said they saw some men and the chicken and the ham was going for a stroll. And I can't remember the full story now, but the chicken said, oh, we are making a sacrifice for man to have breakfast. And then the pig said, well, for you, is a contribution. For me, is a sacrifice. What's your faith? Is it a contribution or is it a sacrifice? Because all it will cost is one egg from the chicken. But the pig has to lay down his life for man to have what do you call it? Bacon. Yeah. The pig lays down the life. But the chicken sows an egg. Next time you order English breakfast, just remember. Yeah? Or you say you want an egg and bacon sandwich, you know? Yeah, you know, egg and bacon sandwich, yeah? Really? One made a contribution, the other make a sacrifice. So what's your salvation like? What's your Christianity like? Is it commitment or is it sacrifice? Is it what? Contribution. So you must value, make a commitment. Value it. My goodness, we need disciples, man. We need disciples. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the second thing is that the Bible says that what you have, the Bible says it has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Two things you have. Your salvation. And if Jesus says, I've given you all things, my friend, you have all things. So my prayer is always, you see, when I need something, my prayer is always, Lord, open my eyes. Because I know it's already here. My prayer is always, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. That's my prayer. Because everything I need, he said he has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. So Lord, open my eyes. Like the servant of Elisha. He says, those who are for us are more than those who are against us. The Lord open his eyes so he can see the resources around him. So I will pray that prayer. That's my prayer most of the time. Don't go, oh, Lord, Jesus. Yeah, I have it. I just don't know where it is. Lord, open my eyes. So maybe somebody gives me. So maybe somebody sent me an email. Somebody sent me this or something. You know, it's here. It's not in heaven. It's here. Praise the Lord. So those are the two things that God has given to you. Please. And these are just the guideline to developing spiritual mentality. I want you, and you can do it. You can develop a strong spiritual mentality. You can make 100% commitment to God, to his works, to his people, to your church, to your leadership. You can do that. I call it selling out. We can sell out. And I'll leave you with this. There's nothing you will ever give on account of the gospel that Jehovah will not pay you back in this life. Not next life. Not in heaven. Here on earth. Nobody. God owes no man. There's nothing. Not in your tithe. Not in your offering. Not in your time. Not in your resources. In fact, the kingdom and God's works is the best investment I have personally made in my life. Kingdom and his people, the best investment I've ever made. And I will do it over and over again. Jehovah never owes any man. Jehovah never owes any man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Are you blessed? Have I got soldiers in the house? Have we got disciples in the house? Give me a big amen.
Amen.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. We ask, oh God, that you bless our mind. Lord, even as we hunger to grow and develop and become spiritually minded. Father, give us the grace, the strength to add to our faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Release the grace to sell out to your works, to your work, to your people, to the gospel in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And Father, we receive a harvest in this life, Father. We receive a harvest. We receive spiritual returns. And above all, we receive your blessings. Upon the works of our hands, upon our children, upon our life, we receive your blessings. We receive your favor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
amen.
And the family say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Please, you may be